Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm
on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. Today, we're going to tune into the press conference that happened this morning beginning at 9 a.m. about the return to school and the measures that Alberta is taking to keep students and staff safe. First, we'll hear from Alberta's Education Minister, Adriana LaGrange.
The safety and the well-being of our staff and our students has been and continues to be my number one priority. After continuing to work with Dr. Dina Hinshaw's team and Alberta Health, emerging evidence has made it clear that masks can play an important role in limiting the spread of COVID-19 in our schools. As a result, mask use for students in grades 4 to 12, as well as all school staff, will be mandatory when school returns for the 2020-21 school year. Staff will be required to wear masks in all settings where physical distancing cannot be maintained, and students will be required to wear them in all shared and common areas, such as hallways and on school buses. Mask use for kindergarten to grade 3 students will continue to be optional. This is because mask use for younger children is a challenge due to difficulties with proper fit and compliance. Additionally, current medical evidence indicates that children under 10 may be less likely than older children or adults to transmit COVID-19. I know Dr. Hinshaw will have more to say about this very shortly. We do not expect boards, teachers, staff, or parents to shoulder the financial burden associated with this new rule. To assist with these new guidelines, Alberta's government will provide every single kindergarten to grade 12 student with 2 reusable masks. This will ensure that students who are required to wear masks will have them, and will allow for our kindergarten to grade 3 students to have masks should they wish to wear them. We will also provide all of our teachers, support staff, school staff, and bus drivers with 2 masks. In total, more than 1.6 million reusable masks will be provided to 740,000 students and 90,000 staff across our province. Additional single-use masks will also be available at schools in case students or staff misplace or forget their masks. Additionally, teachers and support staff, school staff, bus drivers will all receive 1 reusable face shield for their use in schools. 53,000 of these face shields will be provided from a generous donation offered by the Canadian Shield, with the remaining provided by Alberta's government. The use of face shields will be at the discretion of the individual staff member. While face shields can help reduce exposure, they are not equivalent to masks. That is why staff who choose to wear a face shield will still be required to wear a mask. As part of our school reentry plan, we indicated that entrances to schools and classrooms will require hand sanitizing stations. To assist our schools with stocking up on sanitizer, Alberta's government will provide approximately 466,000 liters of hand sanitizer to our school authorities across Alberta. The specific volume provided to an individual school authority will be based on student population. We will also be providing every single school, whether it be a public, separate, francophone, charter, or independent school, 2 contactless thermometers to assist with managing student and staff health. Thermometers use will be at the discretion of the school authority. All of these supplies will be distributed to school authorities prior to the start of the 2020-21 school year. Once received, each school authority will then distribute to their individual schools, staff, and students. To help reduce absences, my department is also working with Alberta Health and Alberta Health Services to explore the possibility of expanding testing capacity and reduce turnaround times for testing for school staff, teachers, and students. Today's announcement is a direct result of Alberta's government continuing to listen to expert medical advice, as well as our commitment to working with our education system. Our school authorities are already developing return to school plans that meet the needs of their own communities, some of which have already been released. Alberta's government will continue working with them as they work to adapt our guidelines to their own local context. We will also continue to work with our school authorities to ensure that they have the support they need and are well equipped for a safe and successful return to school in the 2020-21 school year. Our guidelines for school reentry will continue to evolve to ensure they reflect the most up-to-date medical advice. I want to thank Dr. Dina Hinshaw and her team at Alberta Health for continuing to work with my department and our education system, and for being a strong partner in doing whatever we can to ensure a successful and safe return to school. Before we turn the floor over to her, I will now turn it over to Bevan Davern, the president of the College of Alberta School Superintendents, to say a few words.
Thank you, Minister LaGrange. Good morning, everyone. I think by this stage, we certainly all recognize that this is a shifting landscape in dealing with the challenges that this pandemic has brought. And it is important to be responsive to those changes. Over the month of July, we saw small adjustments to Alberta Education's school relaunch planning guide that was released back in June, and are pleased again to see that Dr. Hinshaw and Minister LaGrange are continuing to monitor the situation and continuing to make necessary adjustments to keep students and staff safe. CASA's Board of Directors, from all of us, we appreciate the willingness of government not only to be responsive, but also for their continued collaboration as these guidelines are operationalized in Alberta schools. We also appreciate government support with the protective equipment and the supplies, as these items are an integral part of those operational plans for school divisions in September. Thank you.
Once again, that was Alberta's Education Minister, Adriana LaGrange, and the President of the College of Alberta's School Superintendents, Bevan Davern. We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to be hearing from Dr. Dina Hinshaw, all about the return to school happening in just a few short weeks. This is Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. Today, we're tuning into the press conference on Alberta's return to school, and we've just heard from Adriana LaGrange, Alberta's Minister of Education, and now we're going to hear from Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Dina Hinshaw.
As Minister LaGrange mentioned, after completing our review of current evidence, I am now recommending that non-medical masks be worn by staff, teachers, and students in grades 4 and above in Alberta. This means that when classes begin this fall, masks will be mandatory for students in grades 4 to 12 and all staff and teachers outside the classroom or when activities inside the classroom involve close interactions. This means that students in grades 4 through 12 will be required to wear masks while in common areas, outside the classroom, and on school buses. To be clear, masks are not required inside the classroom when students are seated and the teacher is distanced from the students, though they can still be worn if a student or teacher chooses. However, they are required in hallways and any shared places where students, staff, or teachers may not be able to maintain the recommended physical distancing requirements. This is similar to the approach being adopted on Ontario, Quebec, and Nova Scotia. It is an important measure to help minimize the risks of catching and spreading COVID-19. The question that many parents may have is why we are making that decision now. When Minister LaGrange announced on July 21st that in-person classes would resume this fall, I noted that my team was reviewing the current guidance, including evidence from jurisdictions around the world. Today's announcement is the result of that detailed review. Since day one, we have committed to acting on the best evidence available at any given time. This means not relying on any single study or jurisdiction's experience, but methodically assessing all the evidence available and then acting on that information. We know that masks can be an effective addition to reducing COVID-19 transmission when used properly. That is why I continue to strongly recommend that all Albertans wear masks in indoor spaces where distancing cannot be maintained, regardless of age. However, we also know that schools are unique settings where special measures are needed to mitigate the risks of exposure. There is growing evidence that wearing non-medical masks can interrupt transmission in public indoor spaces, including in school settings with older children. After reviewing the literature, I believe that requiring masks in all staff and in all children grades 4 and above is essential to limiting the spread within schools and protecting the health of everyone involved. Why are we using grade 4 as the cutoff? Because of emerging evidence that shows children who are 10 or older may be more likely to transmit COVID-19 than younger children. Also, they are further along in their development and so better able to wear masks appropriately and safely. Mask use in children up to grade 3 can be considered, but this is not mandatory. There has been a great deal of focus on masks lately, but it is important to remember that they are only one part of the public health approach put in place to protect schools. Masks alone do not keep kids and schools safe from COVID-19. Indeed, no single precaution or public health measure will eliminate all risks of exposure in schools or any other setting. Physical distancing, cohorting, frequent hand washing, enhanced cleaning, and changes to how classes and schools operate are equally as important in limiting the spread of the virus in schools. There is still no risk-free approach to living with COVID-19. As I've said before, we have no choice but to learn to live with it. Everyone in the school community will have to do their part and follow public health guidance to keep each other safe. Jurisdictions around the world are trying to determine the most effective way to resume schools. We will continue to watch their experiences closely and monitor our own. If needed, we will continue to update public health advice for schools based on best available evidence. This is part of living in the new normal of COVID-19. We must be agile, adaptive, and guided by the evidence as it emerges. This is the best way to protect the health, safety, and well-being of students, staff, families, and communities.
Once again, that was Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Dina Hinshaw, speaking on Alberta's return to school this morning. We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we return, we're going to hear some questions from reporters for Dr. Dina Hinshaw and Alberta's Minister of Education, Adriana LaGrange.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Fort McMurray Orthodontics and Cooper & Company Law Firm.
On Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Steph Seidel. This morning, we are tuning into the press conference on Alberta's return to school. We're about to hear some reporters and their questions for the Minister of Education, Adriana LaGrange, and Dr. Dina Hinshaw, Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health, as well as Bevan Davrin, the President of Alberta's College of Superintendents for Schools.
We've heard a lot of concerns about class sizes since the announcement a couple of weeks ago. What work is being done by the government? Is any work being done by the government to find additional space if Dr. Dina Hinshaw determines that class sizes are becoming a concern?
Again, when we look at class sizes, Dr. Hinshaw determines that we have to look at something different, then we would be looking at a different scenario. Scenario 2 of our plan limits class size, but right now we have indicated very strongly that we are going back in scenario 1 and continuing to work with school divisions. School divisions are adapting their plans to meet their local context as they move forward.
You said that you wouldn't need to wear masks in the classroom if you were able to stay physically distant. But we know that some Alberta classes, and we've seen teachers tweet out pictures of their classrooms and how close the desks are together.
If the students are less than 2 meters apart, does that mean they have to wear masks in the classroom all the time?
In the back-to-school guidance, we've talked about different options for arranging desks so that students are not facing each other. And the recommendation, if 2 meters cannot be maintained, is that the seating arrangement ensures that students are not face-to-face and that as much distance as possible is kept between the desks. The pros and cons of mask wearing in a classroom setting where instruction is happening need to be weighed out very carefully. If students or teachers are interacting in a way that's close and involves them working together, then mask wearing would be expected. But if students are seated in their desks, working quietly and not moving around, and the teacher is distanced from them, then mask wearing is optional in that setting, even if they are slightly less than 2 meters apart, with the rationale that the benefits of having interaction with the teacher can be really critical for people who are having difficulties with communication, such as those for whom English is an additional language, or those for whom facial expressions are a really critical part of communication. So in that setting, again, as long as the students are seated quietly, working quietly, and the desks are spaced so the students are not facing each other and as far apart as possible, mask wearing would be optional at those times.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. My question is in regards to elementary schools that cater to K to 6. How will you create an environment, or how are we expecting students to create an environment where half the students in a school are expected to wear masks and the other half are not?
Thanks, Lucy, for the question. This is absolutely an opportunity for learning for all our students. Oftentimes, our older students are very good mentors and guides for the younger students. So it's not unreasonable to have a scenario where the older students are wearing masks and the younger ones aren't. But definitely, the younger ones will look up to the older ones. And as we've said, if younger ones wish to wear a mask, that is absolutely acceptable.
Hi, good morning. This is a question for the minister. You had previously said on a number of occasions that school authorities had enough money in their budget to meet the expectations of the re-entry plan. Now you appear to have acknowledged that they're going to need some help from the government by paying for the hand sanitizer and the mask. I'm just wondering if you could explain what led you to change your mind.
Well, we've committed all along to continue to work with school divisions and provide resources as are needed. Given the fact that we are now mandating masks for all students and for staff, we've gone the extra measure of providing those resources and paying for those resources. So this will cost an additional $10 million on top of the $120 million that is currently in addition to a school that has been added to school budgets for the upcoming school year. We also have $363 million sitting in school board reserves that school boards have access to, and we've accelerated an additional $250 million in capital infrastructure maintenance and renewal up and above the infrastructure maintenance and renewal dollars that school boards are currently given. So we are continuing to move forward and provide schools with the resources they require so that we can have a safe and successful reentry to school.
Well, first of all, I just was wondering, you know, we see these plexiglass barriers between all the, at grocery stores and that kind of thing. I'm wondering if there's been any move towards plexiglass in the classrooms and what classrooms might look like come the fall. How will they be configured differently, if at all? And I have one more question. And I'm wondering about, Minister, what might happen to teachers, like elderly teachers or teachers with underlying health conditions who really are at quite a lot of risk to catching COVID and having a very severe outcome, it should be. And what kind of provisions are being made for those teachers? Thanks very much.
Thank you. So these are operational questions, which I do have the superintendent on the line, and he's able to speak to those. But I can just share that I know because we have roughly about 2,400 schools right across this province, and every school is configured differently, classrooms look different in every school, that as far as the plexiglass, there are certain school divisions that are looking at that if it meets their local context, and as well as teachers that are elderly teachers or have some underlying health conditions, that those are absolutely considerations that school divisions are working one-on-one with those individuals. Those teachers are you know, need to go to their local physician and have that conversation to find out what is required for them to be safe, and then to have that conversation with their employer, which is the school division. And I know that school divisions are looking to accommodate those teachers, whether they are working in other areas where they're not in direct contact with students or doing the online programming, et cetera. But Bevan, can you please answer some of these questions? Are you still on the line?
Yeah, certainly. And Minister, you're correct in everything that you said there. So as far as the plexiglass, yes, this is being used depending on the circumstance in classrooms and offices. I think there will expect to be adaptations by how teachers are, you know, instructing within their classes. There'll be some adjustments that way. Plexiglass has, in many districts that I'm aware of, is kind of an option for teachers to be able to use. I think that's also part of the routines in as far as social distancing and also increased cleaning and sanitizing in classrooms as well. So there's enough flexibility within the guidelines that, as Minister LaGrange has pointed out, there are a lot of different circumstances between classrooms and between schools and communities across Alberta, and that allows within each school and each district them to make kind of the best decisions to deal with it. And also your question in regard to potentially high-risk staff, all districts are working closely with their staff to, if those situations are identified, and to find accommodations that will work. In all of our school divisions across Alberta, our primary goal is to keep people safe. We always have the safety of students as our primary focus. And with this pandemic, the safety of our staff also is getting additional work. So, yes, that's being worked on and looked at, I would say, in every district right now.
Once again, that was Alberta's Chief Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Dina Hinshaw, Alberta's Minister of Education, Adriana LaGrange, and the President of the College of Superintendents for Schools, Bevan Davarin. This has been Fort McMurray Matters, but unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm Steph Seidel. Be sure and tune in every weekday at noon for another episode of Fort McMurray Matters, or check it out on the podcast. You can find it where you get your podcasts or at mix1037fm.com.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode?
Download the podcast at mix1037fm.com.